The latest report is that Bannister is feeling fine and so is Landy. So there appears to be nothing around to spoil the setting for today's wonderful event. Landy has said that though he is the holder of the world's record for the mile, it won't mean a thing if he doesn't beat Bannister today. That's the big thing he's in mind. Now, if Bannister runs just behind Landy, the Australian runner will probably feel as if he is being haunted. Haunted by the specter of Bannister's closing sprint. It will certainly be a tough mental load for Landy to carry, and one he's never had to carry before. He's carried it by himself, but not with somebody behind him. Bannister may be concerned about how he's going to be able to handle the pace that Landy will throw at him, although there is no reason to believe that Bannister can't handle just as fast the first three-quarter as can Landy. That's the big point, and it's all pretty well a guess. One of the interesting facts I've been able to dig up with Ward Cornell's help is that when you analyze the 200-minute miles Landy and Bannister have run, you find that Landy actually ran the last 120 yards of his race when he did 3:58 at Turku, Finland, a little faster than did Bannister when he ran the last 120 yards of his race when he did 3:59.4 at Oxford. And Landy, by the way, in running a very fast 2 mile about 8 weeks ago, ran the last quarter in just under 60 seconds. Another possibility, and it's a very exciting one, is that Landy may run a breakout race, staying with the pace about halfway through, and then suddenly breaking out to try to run the last half in about 1:54. That pretty well gives you the idea of what may happen. There are quite a few possibilities, and I think as we go into that first quarter, many of them will be found out. Now, yesterday, Landy said that the weather here is more humid than it was in Turku, Finland, when he ran 3:58. And as a result, his oxygen intake will be lower. I don't think that was by any means a sense of a lack of confidence, because Landy is a very loose, relaxed sort of person. You know, I walked around the track before I came up to the CBC booth, and it looks to be very hard and fast. They've all done a wonderful job. It might be a little loose or pitted here and there, but everybody that's done the work on this track certainly should be congratulated, because usually it takes 2 or 3 years to get a good track ready. Now, another possibility has just come into my mind, and that is that if Landy does go out at the start to avoid being boxed in, it's quite possible that Boyd and Law, Bannister's teammates, may chase him and try to slow things down by surrounding him. This will probably spoil their chance of finishing well up, but I don't imagine they would care if it would help Bannister out. It would also give Rich Ferguson a chance to finish farther up, incidentally. Rich will probably go out there to try to run for fourth or fifth. I don't think he will try to stay with Landy, Bannister, and Hallberg, although he may, because he's certainly been running very well in these games. Now, the runners are on the track now, and that's pretty well the background of this miracle mile. Except to say that out here, Landy is now about a 5-to-1 favorite. Now, just why, nobody seems to be sure. I think it is because he has been so friendly, and a lot of people have had a chance to meet him, and because of that, they like him and want to bet on him. But after all, the big thing, I think, is that Landy has run the mile faster than anyone else in the world and anyone else in this race. Now, here's a quick recap of those running today and their lane positions. In lane one, John Landy of Australia. In lane two, Rich Ferguson of Canada. In lane three, Murray Hallberg of New Zealand. In lane four, Vic Milligan of Northern Ireland. In lane five, Roger Bannister of England. In lane six, Ian Boyd of England. Lane seven, David Law of England. Lane eight, Wild Bill Bailey of New Zealand. Now, as you can see, John Landy and Roger Bannister are separated by about 3 or 4 places. I don't know whether that was intentional or whether it was the luck of the draw, but certainly they are separated at the start. Actually, lane positions don't mean too much when you're running the mile. It does, of course, in the sprints and the half mile when you have to try to get out very quickly to get good position of the first bend. But in the mile, it's only helpful in as much as, say, Landy might want to get out there very quickly to avoid being kicked or stepped on, and thus he will have an advantage being in lane one, providing they don't rush in on him and knock him into the infield. That, incidentally, is what everyone here, I think, is worrying about. What's going to happen in that first mad scramble for the first corner? Everybody has had bad dreams at night. I know I have. Seeing somebody fall into Landy, Landy fall into Bannister, and whambo, the race is gone. Landy just went up to Bannister and shook hands with him, and the crowd is applauding. Now, Rich Ferguson is shaking hands with Landy, and they're all shaking hands with each other. But Landy did start it by going over to Roger Bannister and wishing him good luck. John Landy is walking up and down the track with his, just at the side of the track, with his hands on his hips. He's dropped them now. He looks loose. And there is the whistle to clear the track. And the runners are coming out on the track, and the race will be getting away in a very few moments. I would imagine about a minute from now. There's still quite a murmur on the track as the probably the spectators exchange last moment bets or opinions. They're all lined up behind. The starter is getting ready. He's told them to get on their marks, and now we're just about to start the miracle mile. What are we going to see today? Everybody's asking. The officials are asking for quiet. They're all standing up except the two news. They're set, and there they go. And right away, Landy moves out quickly. He's in first place at the bend, but there goes Wild Bill Bailey of New Zealand, moving out very quickly in front, and the New Zealand, other New Zealand runner is in second place. Murray Hallberg is in second place as of now, and Landy is definitely going to run behind in that first quarter. He's running in fourth place with Bannister about 2 yards behind him, Ferguson behind him, then David Law, then Milligan. As we come down the first backstretch and into the first bend, it's Law of England, it looks like, moving out in front with here comes Landy now. Landy, as they come around the first bend into the first straightaway, he's moving it up, really moving it up. Bannister is still about 5 yards behind him, running in fourth spot. Landy is running beautifully. He's relaxed, his hands are low, and he looks like he's going to go out for that big three-quarter, and we'll have that quarter-mile time. Right now, he has about 4 yards in Bannister, but Bannister's moving up past Hallberg to try to go after Landy. He mustn't drop more than 5 yards. The time for that first quarter was 58 seconds, and it looks very fast. Now Bannister has gone out after Landy because Landy is about 4 or 5 yards ahead, and that is an awful lot. It looks like Bannister is trying to move up and get into hitting position of Landy. But if he doesn't get any closer than this, he's going to have a rough time. Now here comes Rich Ferguson moving up with the leaders. He's moving up as they go down the backstretch right next to Murray Hallberg, who's running about 2 yards behind Bannister. As we go around the final bend before they get into the finish of the half mile, it's Landy trying to move away from Bannister, and he's got about 7 yards now, and I'm really getting excited, as is everybody else. About 3 yards behind Bannister is Hallberg, and right with him is Ferguson. The crowd are applauding Landy, and here comes Bannister. He's moving up. He's only about 4 yards behind as they come into the finish of the first half mile. There goes Ferguson up in the third place, just about 3 yards behind Bannister, and there's Hallberg and about 2 yards behind Ferguson, and he doesn't look very good. And Ferguson's still moving. As they go around the quarter into the backstretch, it's Landy still in front about the same distance. And that half mile was in 1:58, a real fast half mile. Here's Landy looking around at Bannister and trying to run hard. But Bannister's moving up on him. He's only about 3 yards behind now, and Ferguson is about, I would say about 10 yards behind Bannister. And feeling it, then Hallberg's 20 yards behind Ferguson. Ferguson might get a third place for a tremendous upset. As they come around now into the start of the last lap, they're coming down the straightaway from the corner in front of us. Landy is looking around, and Bannister has moved up. And Landy seemed to perhaps ease up a little, waiting for Bannister. And as they come in front of the microphone, Bannister has moved up to Landy and is only about a yard back. And it looks like Bannister and Landy are going to have a tremendous last quarter. The three-quarter time was 2 minutes and 58 seconds, and we may have a new world record. Ferguson is still up there within about 25 yards of them. They're going out into the backstretch around the corner. Landy's trying to turn it on, but Bannister's haunting him. Bannister's dogging him. Now is Bannister going to kick here? No, he's still running behind. He's going to delay that kick, it looks like. Landy is moving. He's moving hard, but Bannister's moving with him. Now, here comes Bannister. He's right with him. They're about 2 yards as they go and come around the last bend. It's going to be a tremendous race, and Ferguson is still third, about 30 yards behind. Landy and Bannister are both tired, but they're only inches apart. What a finish. Here comes Bannister. Yes, he's gone ahead. Landy looked back for third place, and it's Bannister. He's kicking in just like they said he would. He's got 3 yards on Landy. He's running in very, very hard. Landy is in trouble, about 3 yards behind. And Ferguson is only 20. It's Bannister across the line, and he's tired. Landy about 3 yards ahead, and Rich Ferguson in third place. Milligan in fourth place. Hallberg and Boyd tied for fifth. And it looks like Wild Bill Bailey in sixth place. What a race that was. Just like everybody thought it would be. Now, the unofficial time for that wonderful race was 3 minutes, 58 and 5 tenths seconds. which is not a new world's record unless, of course, we were a little out. The crowd is going mad. Bannister has moved away from the crowd. He's running to get better, to get released from his fatigue. He and Landy are hugging each other now out there on the track, and they're both happy. You could tell at the final bend as they came around, Landy looked around the wrong way, and Bannister came up on his right shoulder, moved by him. He delayed that kick, as I said he might, to make sure Landy couldn't come back and catch him, and he moved away about 70 yards ago. He moved by, he got those great big powerful legs of his up, his heels up underneath his buttocks, and he ran down there with his head up and a great big smile on his face, and he was tired as he hit the finish line. But he was not exhausted by any means. They're now taking pictures of him. He's feeling very, very happy. Landy is not feeling too good, of course, but that's what happened to the two big boys. But now, I think the most wonderful story of this race, besides the fact that they put on a marvelous show for us, just as expected, everybody...
Through the courtesy of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Mutual has brought you the running of the Landy Bannister race from the British Empire Games at Vancouver.